and Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now, here is Pastor Deo Gentry.
Hey, good Sunday morning, Breakout Radio Church. Welcome. Welcome to Breakout Radio Church on this last Sunday of April, April 28th. And it's good to have you joining me today. If you listen to the 8 o'clock service, we were having some technical problems because of major thunderstorms in the area. But we got it back on, and we're so delighted that you're joining us here at Breakout Radio Church. Here we are broadcasting from our studios here in the heartland of Texas, bpnradio.com, Austin, Texas. And thank you for joining us here on this Sunday morning. Breakout Radio Church is an internet church, a media church, a global church without walls, comprised of members in many different geographical locations, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. That's what we're doing here at Breakout Radio Church. We're also a house of prayer for all nations, and now in our 8th year ministering the gospel across America and around the world from our ministry center. And there was, for 30 years, Gene and I traveled across America, nations of the world, but now we're no longer doing that because the nations are coming to us. Remember, the service will be replayed at 10 a.m. Central Time and also throughout the week on Channel 4, 10 a.m. today, and then Channel 4 throughout the week. So thankful to have our Chief Engineer, IT Director, Michael Schoenborn, our Editor, Aliona Pachuca, working with us. And, well, Gene, it's good to be in church today. So delighted to be in church this morning.
Good morning, Breakout family. It's great to be in church this morning. We had one of those Texas thunderstorms this morning. So we're thankful that we're able to stay on the air and have Breakout Radio Church. Thank you for your faithfulness.
Yes, and we're thankful for our team, our technical support, Michael and Aliona. You know, it takes a team to get it done. So we're delighted to be here. Gene and I are so delighted that you're joining us here today. And so, Father, Gene and I, we come boldly into your presence this morning by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus,
yes,
declaring, God, you're our Father, and we are your son and daughter. It's good to be in the house of God today. We pray for the service this morning that you would anoint the service.
Yes.
We pray for those that are listening. You anoint our ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive.
Yes.
We pray this morning for church services all across America, for pastors, that you would anoint them. We pray for Israel this morning. We know that Israel's defense forces are preparing to move into Rafah, the last major Hamas military stronghold in Gaza, and they're setting up thousands of tents to provide a sanctuary to keep civilians out of harm's way. And so we pray that those hostages will be released.
Yes.
We pray for the protection of Israel, and they'll be able to finish what they started. We pray for Oklahoma and North Texas, who were ravaged by storms and tornadoes last night. We pray for those people that have endured those difficult situations, and we pray the hedge of protection over them. We pray for Thursday, the National Day of Prayer. We'll be joining thousands of churches and prayer groups across America. We'll be praying for our nation. Cheryl Ortiz and I, we'll host a special National Day of Prayer at 10 a.m. Central Time. And so it's good to be in church today. Gene, so grateful. Lord, bless the people that are attending today. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you, Gene Gentry, for your faithfulness. And I believe this is going to be a breakthrough day for a lot of people. A lot of people that are listening today. If you may be listening this Sunday morning, or you may be listening throughout the week, we believe it's going to be a breakthrough day. And so, Tom Autry, my friend for a long time, Tom, and his wife Janie, traveled for a long time with us. And Tom is going to come and sing now. He's going to sing Breakthrough, and it's kind of our theme song today. And I believe it's going to be a breakthrough day for all of you this morning that are listening. And so Tom is going to sing the breakthrough song, and here we go. I believe in today. Thank you, Tom Autry. I'm believing today that many of you are going to have a breakthrough in your life today. And so I'm going to preach about breakthrough, and I'm going to talk today about mysteries. I'm going to talk about the great mystery. And, you know, I love mysteries. And the Bible talks a lot about mysteries. Mysteries. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." And another translation says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." So I'm preaching about the great mystery. I love mysteries. When I was a boy, I used to listen every week on our radio because we had no television. And I loved my favorite program. One of my favorite programs was The Shadow. And The Shadow debuted in 1930, way before I was born, but it went all the way to 1950, 49 or so. But it was a great mystery. And, you know, the Bible talks a lot about mysteries. And I used to listen to that mystery show. And then after a while, when we finally got a television when I was 16 years old, then I was able to watch mysteries. And Gene and I, we love mysteries, don't we, Gene? Yes, we do. It was a mystery series. And then I would listen to mysteries, but after we got a television, Gene and I started watching mysteries. And we still love to watch mysteries today. And you know, some people says, well, I don't know about watching a mystery, but I'm here to tell you that most of the Bible is about mysteries. It really is. You know, Paul said, "This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood," this is from 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. The trumpet's going to sound. The dead's going to be raised incorruptible. We're going to be changed. This corruption is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality." I mean, that is a great mystery. How could that be happening? And, you know, Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, he said to his disciples, he said, "Unto you is given to know the mysteries." Jesus talked about mysteries. And, you know, even Oral Roberts, he loved mysteries. He said, "One time I was reading a Dick Tracy magazine, which is a mystery magazine. And he said, the Lord gave me a word. I got a word from God while I was reading a Dick Tracy magazine." There's a lot of people. He got a lot of persecution over that. A lot of people said, how could that be? But God can do it any way he wants to. But also the Bible is a Bible full of mysteries. And so, you know, I love to tell mystery stories. And one of my favorite mystery story is happened when I was in the seventh grade. My dad and mom and I moved to a little town called Temple, Oklahoma, had about 1,200 people there. And I would walk down the street on my way to town, and I would pass by this mystery house. It was a mystery house because as I made some friends in Temple, one of the first things they would say is, "Don't go near that house." And I would say, "Why?" They said, "Well, you know, it's a big palatial house, and there's a rich man that lives there. He doesn't allow anybody to come to his house. He's got a great big swimming pool in the back of his house. There's a big fence around it, but he does not allow anyone to swim in that pool. In fact, you should not even go near the house." So when I would walk toward town, that little town, then I would get over on the other side of the road because I did not want to go near that mystery house. But one day, my cousin, Ray Watkins, he never got over 4 feet 9 inches tall, so everybody called him Little Ray. And so he was really small when he came to see me when I was in the seventh grade in Temple. And he was in the eighth grade. And he came to visit me that first summer that we lived in Temple. And it was a hot August day. And my cousin Ray, we called him Little Ray, he said to me, "Dale Wayne, let's go swimming." And I said, "Well, the only swimming place we have in town is out in a nearby lake outside of town." And Little Ray said, "I'm not interested in swimming in the lake." He said, is there a pool in town that where we could go?" I said, "There's no public pool. In fact, the only pool that I know about is in the home in the backyard of the Mystery House in Temple. And there's a rich man that lives there, but no one can swim in his pool and no one can even go near his house. Little Ray said to me, Del Wayne, he called me Del Wayne. He said, we are going to swim in that swimming pool today. I said, no, you can't. We can't even go near the house. No one can swim there. But Little Ray pretended not to hear what I was saying. He said, Del Wayne, we'll swim in that pool today. I kept assuring him that we could not do it. But he said, yeah. He said, get your swimming trunks on, and we're going to go, and we're going to swim. He was very persuasive. He finally talked me into going to that Mystery House. So we got our swimming trunks on. I pulled my jeans over my swimming trunks, and we started down the road. And the closer we got to the rich man's house that had the big swimming pool in the back of his house, the more afraid I was. And it was like my knees were having a fellowship meeting, knocking. And I kept saying, Ray, let's don't do this. He said, yeah. He said, we're going to swim in it today. So we got in front of the house, and Little Ray walked right up on the porch, and he said, come on, Del Wayne. And he went up to the door, and I stood behind him several feet, and he began to knock on the door. And I thought, oh, no, this is a mystery house. My friends have told me, don't ever go near that house. But here we were, and Little Ray was knocking on the door. Finally, a woman came to the door. I guess she was the maid. And she said, can I help y'all? And Little Ray said, we want to speak to the man of the house. And the lady smiled and said, one moment, please. And suddenly, a man appeared in the doorway who looked to be, at least 7 feet tall. And he said to Little Ray, and he saw me standing back there. He said, could I help you boys? And Little Ray said to the man very boldly, he said, me and my cousin Del Wayne, we want to swim in your swimming pool. He looked us over, smiled, and said, go home and get your swimming trunks on. Little Ray said, we already have them on. And so the rich man at the Mystery House opened the door of the Mystery House and said, come on in. And so we walked through that big house out the back door and pulled our jeans off, had our swimming trunks on, and we both dove into that swimming pool and had the time of our lives. It was surreal. And I was thinking, if my friends could only see me now. And I had a story to tell. It's the only time that I swam there, but I learned a great lesson that day from my cousin Ray, that mysteries are made to be solved. And Little Ray that day, he looked beyond the circumstances. He looked beyond all of the negativity, and he said, come on, Del Wayne, we are going to do it, and we are going to do it today. And so I'm here to say this morning that I believe that many of you that are listening today or will be listening throughout the week to Breakout Radio Church here on this Sunday morning, the last Sunday of April, April 28, 2024, I believe that many of you need a breakthrough because you have heard voices saying to you, you can't swim in that swimming pool. You can't do that. That will never happen in your life. And you know, we're living in days in America where people are overcome with fear, and they don't believe that we're ever going to have a good day again. We don't believe that America is ever going to come out of all of these negativities. And, you know, we just, we, we, uh, we look and see all the things that are going on in America, all of the negative reports that are coming on the television and all through social media, and we just think, hey, are we ever going to be able to have a good report again? When we look at what is happening in America, we just see these things that are taking place in our nation, and we look in the at the economy, the presidential election, the nominee for a Republican nominee for president is they're threatening to take him to prison, handcuff him, and take him to prison. And there's so many people that they are being troubled about what's going on. They may lose their job. Will there be enough food? There's food shortages. The economy is it going to change? And we go on and on what is happening in America. But the Lord today is wanting to speak to us as sons and daughters of God that we do not need to be afraid, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we have a hope beyond what is happening today, and we need to begin to read the Bible that is full of mysteries. And as we begin to read the Bible that is full of mysteries, then we are going to begin to understand that the circumstances we now have are nothing to be compared to what God is doing if we will believe God. The Apostle Paul said, here's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I read this today. He said, "Our brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He said, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature." What he's talking about, mature in the Spirit. "Not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Do you hear what I'm saying? He said, we are speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. "The hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." But listen now, this is good. He said, "Eye has not seen," speaking of the natural eye, "nor ear heard," speaking of the natural ear, "nor have entered into the heart of man or the mind of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit does what? It searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." What did he say? He said, the natural man cannot receive the things of God, neither can he know them. The natural man. Paul said there is a natural and there is a supernatural. So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to operate in the realm of the supernatural so that we understand the mysteries of the Bible. The mysteries. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 3:15, "Here is the great mystery." That's what I'm talking about today, the great mystery. Christ came as a human. The Spirit proved that He pleased God. He was seen by angels. This is 1 Timothy 3:15. He was seen by angels. Christ was preached to the nations. People in this world put their faith in Him, and He was taken up to glory. So, I mean, you have to, you cannot understand that with your natural mind, it, because it's a mystery. And so in order to have a breakthrough today, you got to understand the mysteries of the Bible. You know, Webster wrote in his dictionary that a mystery is a sudden, dramatic, and important discovery or development, an instance of achieving success in a particular sphere or activity. The big breakthrough comes when we understand the mysteries. Webster said, a mystery is a step forward. It's a leap forward. It's a quantum leap. So here's how the Apostle Paul describes a quantum leap. He said, let me tell you something wonderful. He says, it's a mystery I'll probably never fully understand, because we know in part and prophesy in part. But he said, here's what I want to say to you about the mystery. And this is in 1 Corinthians 15 that I read from. He said, we're not all going to die, but we're all going to be changed. Now, this is a mystery. You hear a blast to end all blasts from a trumpet, and in the time that you look up and blink your eyes, it's over. On signal from that trumpet from heaven, the dead will be up and out of their graves, beyond the reach of death, never to die again. At the same moment and in the same way, we'll all be changed. In the resurrection scheme of things, this has to happen. Everything perishable taken off the shelves and replaced by the imperishable. The mortal replaced by the immortal. Can you understand that in a single victorious stroke, in a blink of an eye, everything is going to be changed? What are we talking about? That's what Jesus was talking about when he told his disciples. He said, now I'm about to leave here. He said, I'm going to go away, but he said, I'm going to appear again. And as they were looking at him, he was gone up into the clouds. But there was two angels who were standing there that day, and they said to his disciples, don't be afraid, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, the same Jesus that you've seen go up is going to come back again, just as you've seen him go. Now, they had to get a hold of that thing, because they thought in their minds that Jesus was going to set up an earthly kingdom. He tried to tell them, I'm not going to set up a kingdom here on earth, because I'm going to set up a heavenly kingdom. And he tried to explain it. They could not get a hold of it. But the Bible says in Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians to the church at Thessalonica, he said in chapter 4, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. What? This is a mystery. And that's why we need to study the Bible to show ourselves approved, or else we will begin to look at natural circumstances. We'll be afraid, and we'll just think things are never going to work out on earth. No, they are going to work out, but not according to the way we want them to work out, because God has a better plan. So we've got to believe. In order to accept Jesus, we must believe that Jesus died and rose again. And that's what we do. That's how we accept Jesus. And we believe that one day he's going to come back. He said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. This is John 14. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. Where I am, there you are. There you're going to be also. So what was Jesus saying? He said, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave this world. He was here 3.5 years on this earth. He said, I'm going to go up to heaven and I'm going to prepare some mansions for you. But don't worry. I'm going to come back and get you. So those disciples, they died before Jesus, before the rapture took place, which has not yet happened, but it will happen. And so when they died, the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's a mystery. But Jesus went up there. When the disciples died, they went up there with him. They're up there in heaven with him right now. And so Jesus said, Paul said, he was writing about it. He said, Jesus died, rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So the people that have already gone to heaven are going to come back with Jesus to this earth. That's the second coming. One day, but also they're going to come back and they are going to be with Jesus when he raptures us. And Paul went on to say, but for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's all. That's the ones that have already died and gone to heaven, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is a mystery. How is this going to happen? How's this going to happen? Well, it's going to happen in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. G and I are here in our ministry center. If Jesus were to, if the rapture was to take place in the moment, twinkling of an eye, we'd be gone. And you would not hear anything, because this mortal body would put on immortality, and we would rise in the rapture to meet the Lord in the air and go to heaven. You say, well, I just can't get my head around it. But it's a mystery. But it's going to be a quantum leap into heaven. And if we do not understand mysteries, we'll become very troubled. Jesus wrote these words in the book of John. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And so we know that we don't have to be troubled. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, he said, you must not let yourselves be distressed. You must hold on to your faith in God and to your faith in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. He said, I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you. It is just as true that I'm coming again to welcome you into my own house so that you may be where I am. You know where I'm going. You know the road I'm going to take. But, you know, the disciples, they couldn't get a hold of it. So many Christians, they can't get a hold of it. The Message translation says, don't let this rattle you. What was he talking about? What's going on in this world? He said, don't let this rattle you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. There's plenty of room for you, and I'm going to come and get you. And Jesus said, my peace I'm going to give you. I'm going to leave with you, and you can walk in that peace. And so the Bible is so full of mysteries. If we do not understand, if we do not have revelation, if we look at everything in the natural, we'll become very troubled. You know, one of the great miracles, and I believe in miracles, but I love to read about Nehemiah. And I was reading yesterday from Nehemiah chapter 6, and the Bible said in the book of Nehemiah, now it happened, because Nehemiah had gone back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down, when the Jews were taken into captivity, the walls were torn down, we know that Nehemiah, he had a word from the Lord that he used to go back and rebuild. But every time we try to do something, every time we try to live out our dreams, what God has told us to do, that there will be a challenge. And we know that nothing can be accomplished in life without a challenge. I mean, we were even challenged this morning getting back on the radio. But Nehemiah chapter 6, it said, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, Sanballat sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. How foolish. Ono. But they thought to do me harm. This is what Nehemiah said. So I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Well, I'll leave it and go down to you. But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat sent his servants to me as before the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, and it was written these words, it is reported among the nations that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there's a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come therefore and let us consult together. Nehemiah said, here's how I responded. I sent to him saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. So what is happening in America today, the devil is trying to fill our nation with all kinds of fearful things, negative things, and that we're not going to make it, and that our nation is going to crash, our economy is going to crash, we won't have enough food to eat, we won't have enough water to drink, we won't be able to pay our bills, and we won't be able to get medical care, we won't be able to get a job. You understand what I'm saying? But we need to respond like Nehemiah responded. No such things are going to happen to us. He's talking about the people that were in Israel. And I want to say to you today, there are many of you that have so much fear in your life. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And so we need to respond like Nehemiah. You invent these things in your own heart. So the news media, they are inventing all of these things to do what? To try to make us afraid. And that's what Nehemiah said. But they all were trying to make us afraid. The media was trying to make us afraid. The reports were trying to make us afraid. And they are saying, you know, you're not going to get this done. You're not going to rebuild the walls. But and afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, who was a secret informer, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God. Let us close the doors of the temple. They're coming to kill you. At night, they're going to kill you. So that's what the devil wants to say to us and to you and to your family. They're going to come and kill you. You're going to die. You know, we have one of our church members, Pastor Gene Massey, pastor of the First Christian Church, Kingfisher, Oklahoma. He was in the Vietnam War, and he was a pilot. He was an aircraft pilot, and the plane, the helicopter was flying. It was shot, and it was going down. And as it was going down, there was a voice that said to Gene Massey, "You're gonna die." But there was another voice that said to him, no, you're not. So the enemy wants to say to you, you're going to die. That's what the enemy was saying to Nehemiah when he was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. You're going to die. We're going to kill you. An informer, a secret informer came and said, we better compromise here. You better quit trusting in your God because you're going to die. So it didn't happen because Nehemiah said, no, why should I be afraid? I'm not afraid. And the Bible said the wall was finished in 52 days. And it happened when all of our enemies heard of it and the nations around us saw these things that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by God. You know, somebody got a... I remember now Cheryl Ortiz sent out a prayer this week, and she said these protests are going to be turned into prayer meetings. And so people are looking at the prayer protests and saying, oh, our nation is going to go down. Our college campuses are going to be overrun by all of these protests. But she received this word that the protests are going to be turned into prayer meetings. So what is happening in America is that Satan is trying to make us afraid. So what is our response? We are not going to be afraid. Nehemiah refused to be afraid, and he was able to finish the wall without incident because he understood the mystery, the great mystery, that how could this, all the walls be restored in Jerusalem when they'd been torn down and the enemies were trying to prevail or prevent this happening. You know, the devil, he's trying to prevent you from dreaming. He's saying, no, it's not going to happen. You'll never be able to start that business. No, you'll never be able to get remarried. No, you'll never be able to walk down that wedding aisle. No, you'll never be able to make that geographic move successfully. No, you'll never get an increase in pay. No, that will never happen. No, you'll never be healed. And no, you'll never be able to get out of that pain that you're in. But if we understand the mysteries of God, the wonderful mysteries, we'll understand that we're going to have a sudden, dramatic, important discovery or development. We're going to have a breakthrough. We're going to have a breakthrough. We're going to have a step forward. We're going to have a leap forward. We're going to have a quantum leap. And God is at work in our life, and that's why we need to study the Bible. Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. And so we need to get our Bibles out, and when we don't understand something, we need to say, Lord, I cannot understand this with my natural mind, but with my spiritual mind, I understand this. And so, you know, John, in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John, he was exiled to Patmos. He was there by himself. But on the Lord's day, he had a visitation. And a voice spoke to him. And when he turned to see the voice that was speaking to him, he saw seven golden lampstands, and one like the Son of Man. That's Jesus, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool. He had in his right hand seven stars. He laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. He said, I'm going to show you the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand. This is amazing. Jesus came to visit John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1. Why don't you study it? In Revelation chapter 1, and he said to John, I'm going to show you the mystery of it. Jesus himself loved mysteries. And, the Bible continues to go on and on. Paul said, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. The love a man gives his wife is the extending of his love for himself to enfold her. No one ever hates or neglects his own body, feeds and nurses it. After that, is what Christ does for his body, the church. We're all members of that body. We're his flesh and blood. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The marriage relationship is doubtless what? A great mystery. It's what? It's a great mystery. He said, I'm speaking of something deeper still, the marriage of Christ and the church. So Jesus is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. And so Jesus compares the relationship of a man and a woman when they get married to Christ and the church. The Bible said it's a great mystery. But the way that Christ loves the church is the way that a man needs to love his wife. So the Bible is all full of mysteries. I want to encourage you today, those of you that have fear and doubt in your heart, I just want to tell you, you can swim in that swimming pool, that all things are possible and nothing is impossible. And I'm praying today that God is going to deliver many of you from the spirit of fear. You've got everything on hold. You need to let it go and know that God is at work in your life. You know, I want to conclude with one of my favorite stories, one of my most requested story, maybe my most requested story. Shortly after Gene and I were married, we lived in a small trailer in Comanche, Oklahoma, a little 21-foot trailer that I bought for $300. There was a little boy who lived across the street whose name was Billy Bob. And Billy Bob often came over to visit me while proclaiming the same thing each time. "Mr. Gentry, I can walk." I would say, "You can, Billy Bob, you can walk?" And he would say, "Yeah, watch me." And then he would start walking really fast. And then he would say, "I can walk and I can walk fast." And I said, "You can, Billy Bob?" And he'd say, "Yeah, watch this." And he'd begin to walk really fast. Then he would come back. He'd go through the same thing every day that he came over. Then he would say, "Mr. Gentry," I'd say, "Yeah, Billy Bob." He said, "I can run." I said, "You can run, Billy Bob?" And he said, "Yeah, I can run." And then he'd start running real fast. And then he came back and said, "Mr. Gentry," I'd say, "Yeah, Billy Bob." He said, "I can mow." I said, "You can mow?" He said, "Yeah, I can mow, and I can mow really fast." And then he would go all over the front yard acting like he had a mower. And so Billy Bob has been gone out of my life for a long time, but I still say those words. I can walk, and I can walk fast. I can run fast. I can mow fast. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. And I'm just telling you today that you can do what God says you can do. You can go where God says you can go. You can have what God says you can have. You can be what God says you can be. You can do all things. I'm believing God for a breakthrough, as Tom Autry was singing. So one day, as I began, after I was preaching about Billy Bob, Tom Autry wrote this song, "You Can Do It, You Can Make It." And I'm going to play that right now, and then I'm going to pray for you after Tom Autry sings this song. Listen to this, and then I'm going to pray for you. Sing it, Tom. And you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can make it, and you're looking good. That's Tom Autry. We need to pray for Tom. He's having surgery tomorrow in Fort Worth. We need to pray for Tom. We pray for Tom Autry. We pray for his surgery tomorrow in Jesus' name. And I want to tell you this morning that all things are possible. And if you can read the Bible and ask God for understanding, and even if you have to get another translation, you know, some people, I started out with King James, and then I went to New King James, and I like other translations. And we need to understand the mysteries of God, and we do not need to be afraid. So I break all spirits of fear off of you today, all fear that you're not going to be able to do what God has put in your heart to do. I'm just here to tell you that you can do everything that God has put in your heart to do. All things are possible. And I just want to say, you can do it, you can make it, and you're looking good. And we have to believe in the supernatural. You know, I'm giving an opportunity to give today, and Gene and I, we been operating the supernatural all of our ministry, all of our married life, actually. But for 57 years, we've trusted God for our finances. We do not have any guaranteed income, but we still give God that first 10% and beyond. There's some people that they don't pay their tithe. They don't give their tithe back to God, the first 10%, because they don't believe they can make it. They live in the realm of the natural. If you live in the realm of the natural, you're going to have trouble financially, physically, emotionally. There's going to be all kinds of problems that come your way because you are going to give in to your circumstances. But Gene and I, we just give. In fact, we have given it over the years. We just give it all away because we know the value of the gift is greater than the value of the sale. And so we have furniture, we give it away. We have a car, we give it away. We have a house. If we have a house, one time I was given a house, gave it away. And what do? We just give. And then what happens? God gives back to us. He promises in His Word, "I'll cause people to give to you into your bosom," or that means your lap or into your hands. And so we give to God that first 10% and beyond because we believe in the supernatural, and we trust God. And so, well, I'm gonna have to continue this next Sunday morning, but I want to pray for those of you that are giving. Gene and I are going to bless you. And Gene, we've learned to be a blessing. He said, if you're a blessing, he said to Abraham, Father Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Why am I blessing you? To be a blessing. So what are we doing, Gene? We're here to be a blessing.
Yes, we are. And you know, when you sow, you reap the benefits of that. You don't just sow to reap benefits, but there are benefits. God wants to bless you, and we're so thankful for all of you that are faithful to sow into Breakout Radio Church, Breakout Ministries. What a blessing you are to our lives and ministry.
Yes. Yes, yes, you are, and we are so grateful. If you're giving a check today, make your check payable to Breakout Ministries, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. Gene, she personally goes to the post office and brings back the checks, and we rejoice and bless the people that are giving. Breakout Ministries, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. And if you want to give a PayPal, credit card, debit card, all you have to do is go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and click on the donate button. You can use your PayPal, credit card, or debit card. Also, you can use Venmo. And our Venmo address is Dale Gentry, BPN Ministries. And we bless you now as you give today. Darla Gentry's working with us, and our ministry number is 512-633-0966. And wow, what a wonderful day it's been. If you don't know the Lord, all you have to do is just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe you arose on the third day, and I accept you into my heart. So our time is about gone. Thank you for joining us today. It's been great being here today, Gene.
Yes, I'm thankful that we were able to stay on the air today during these thunderstorms. And so we just pray that you'll have a blessed day, and we're asking God to bless you. We yes. love you.
May you be blessed. I think we'll go out with Tom Autry re-singing this song, You Can Do It, You Can Make It, You're Looking Good. Have a wonderful day. 10 a.m. replay today, and then all through the week on Channel 4. I love you. Go with God, He'll go with you.